Fergale and Reeve Starbuck were in difficulties. Heavily outnumbered, they fought gallantly. Tamo's party saw they were in a fix and dashed over to help, but too late. Both the recruits went under from vermin spear thrusts before they could be reached. Others came running to avenge their comrades, exacting a terrible retribution on the vermin spear carriers with swords and javelins. Clubrush saw Fergale twitch, and he knelt by him, supporting his head.
You did bravely, young sir. Be still now. We'll get you some help.
Fergale tried to focus on Clubrush, his eyes fluttering weakly.
Get my old job back. Serving you and Colonel Eyebright in the mess. Won't shout too loud, though. Colonel doesn't like that.
The young recruit's head lolled to one side, his eyes closed. Drill Sergeant Clubrush hugged him tightly, tears flowing openly down his grizzled face.
I hope you've gone to an happier place than this bloodstrewn ridge.
The tide of battle was turned. What was left of the mighty Rapscallion army fled from the hill, pursued by the Hares and the Redwallers. Major Perigord and Captain Twayblade limped their way back down the hill and across the valley, with Tamo and Pask following them. They found Lady Cregor in the rift, clutching the mangled remains and broken sword of Damag Warfang. Pask Valerian was the only one of the four who was still fit and active. She climbed down to the bottom of the rift. Perigord peered over the edge, watching her inspect the badger.
I say, Pask, get a chunk of that smouldering wood to make a torch.
The young hare snapped off a billet of pine from the charred trunk and blew gently upon it until the flame rekindled itself. She looked closely at the still form of Lady Cregor, checking her carefully.
Good news, sir! Though you wouldn't think to look at her, Lady Cregor's alive! But Warfang must have slashed and battered her with his sword something dreadful. Her face, head and eyes suffered terrible injuries. But as I say, she lives!
The Major winced as he straightened up.
Well, there's a thing. Our badger lady must be jolly well made of iron. Tamo, see if you can hunt up stuff to make a stretcher and find some able-bodied beasts to carry it. Tam, are you all right, old lad?
Tamo sat at the edge of the rift, his head in both paws, shaking and weeping uncontrollably.
No, I'm not all right, sir. I've seen death. I've been in a battle. I've slain other creatures, seen friends cut down before my eyes, and all I can think of is thank the fates I'm not dead. The way I feel right now, I don't know if I want to go on living.
The Major sat down beside him.
I know what you mean, young'un. But think for a moment. Think of the babes at Redwall and the Ulsters. Think of all the families, like your own, who will never be frightened or harmed by the bad ones we fought against. You've done nothing to be ashamed of. The Colonel and your mother would be proud to know they had a son like you. What do you say, Pask? Tell this perilous fella.
Pask Valerian paused from his soles and dressing, capturing Tamo with a soft voice and gentle smile. She pointed skyward.
I don't have to tell you anything, Tam. Just look up.
Tamo felt the other three staring upward with him. Fading from dark blue to light, dawn was breaking with threads of crimson and gold radiating wide. Pale, cream-washed clouds lay in rolls to the east, their undersides glowing pink with the rising of the sun. Somewhere, a lark was singing its ascension aria, backed by waking curlews on the moor and wood pigeons in the copses. The spell was broken abruptly as the little owl, Tornoch, swooped out of nowhere to land at the rift edge.
I see by your returning warriors and the vermin carcasses lying everywhere that you won the battle.
Perigord wiped his sabre blade with a paw full of dewy grass.
Aye, we won.
Tornoch nodded sagely, preening his wings ready for flight.
I will carry the good news back to Redwall Abbey. Is there anything else you wish me to add?
Tamalo de Formalo Tussock dried his eyes and smiled.
Tell them we're coming home.